Dr. Dre, let's get this party started, my brother.
Are you ready, Rob?
Let's kick it.
We're going to do something different, Rob. I want to do something different here. Here we go. I'm trying to, like, keep it up. Uh-oh. You know what time it is, Rob?
Oh, yeah. Who that nation know all about this one.
Okay.
Well, man, it's getting ready to get broadcast. Y'all ready?
Hey, I'm trying to get
wrong.
Tell them why they don't.
Today is Tuesday, October the 30th, and you don't have to adjust your radio. It's Talking Sports 12 p.m. We're kind of doing something a little different here. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Foreman. We have a packed, explosive show. We're trying to get you guys crunk. Are you crunk, Rob?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready, Doc. Let's get this party started. Man, I was so excited about the start of the NBA season, I didn't know what to do. And so I saw a good bit of the Miami-Boston game, saw Kevin Garnett give Ray Allen a cold shoulder, so we got a lot to talk about on tonight. And of course, we have our prayers and thoughts with the people up in the Northeast with Hurricane Sandy. We're praying hopefully it'll get power restored to most of you all and get back on your feet as quickly as possible. Of course, being from Louisiana, we know all about the hurricanes we've had. Too many in the last 7-8 years in these parts, so we know exactly what you're going through, and we're hoping that you all will have a quick recovery and everything will get back to normal as quickly as possible. And our prayers are definitely with you all up in the Northeast.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. As mentioned, let's go ahead and get started. We have an explosive show for you guys, and don't forget, if you want to call into the show, tell us your thoughts. All the stuff, the number to call in is 424-243-9519. Also follow us on Twitter at the number 12, excuse me, the TH Man Sports, and also like us on Facebook. So we got a lot of things to talk about, football, NBA, baseball. Let's jump right into it, Rob. And you know, you kind of did talk about the NBA. I think it's a good start to kind of get that started because, yeah, the NBA season kicks off tonight. And you were talking about the little cold shoulder about Ray Allen's reception that he got from Kevin Garnett. What did you think about that and the reception that Ray Allen got going back to playing against his former team?
Well, I mean, there's a part of me that understands it, and there's a part of me who's like, okay, that's a little, you know, uncalled for. I mean, you know, you're old teammates, you won a championship together. You can at least greet each other with a nice hug or something like that, chat for a little bit, how's the family doing? And but then there's another part of me is like, this is competition. You lost one of your guys to your arch rival. And how can you go? I think if Ray Allen would have left to go to the Clippers, to the Hawks, the Hornets, and the Lakers, I don't think it would be that big of a deal. But since he went to their main arch rival, I think it's just kind of really hard, you know, to handle that. And, you know how it is, you know, even with the Saints and the Falcons rivalry, we have had some players that have left to go to each other's team. And, you know, that's almost a no-no when you go to your arch rival. And so I think that's what, you know, I think that's where the grief is coming from. I just feel like if you were to win somewhere else, anywhere but the Heat, it wouldn't be this bad.
You know, I kind of like it, man. I think it's kind of cool, man. I think nowadays, you know, there's a part that says, you know, hey, you know, good game and stuff like that, but you know, this is a battle, man. We're not supposed to be friends. You're not supposed to be going out, you know, eating dinner the night before, man. Forget that, man. This is a battle, man. Come on. So I kind of like it, man. I mean, obviously, you know, he wasn't gonna be like, you know, we're not, you know, friends. I ain't gonna talk to you or anything like that. You know, obviously after the game, and I think it's just about Kevin Garnett being kind of intense, and that's cool. You know, that's his persona. I'm sure they can chat afterwards in reality, even something after the game. He's like, that's just KG being KG. So, you know, like I said, I like it. As long as, you know, he's not, you know, talking about his family or anything like that. You know, that's cool, man. It's all about being intense, man. So, there you go.
Exactly. And Ray Allen had a big game. He had a pretty good game tonight, his first game with the Heat. So should be interesting. I still think that those are the two teams to beat in the Eastern Conference. And so I think that's what we're looking at in the Eastern Conference Finals, Boston and Miami again. So there's an outside shot that Derrick Rose and the Bulls, Derrick Rose is going to be back sometime in February. So there is an outside shot that the Bulls can just kind of hang on until he gets back. Maybe they can overtake Boston and get into the Eastern Conference Finals against Miami.
Yeah, and obviously you guys know there's a big trade that happened that definitely changed the landscape of the Western side with James Harden getting traded to Houston. And before, I'm sure, you know, I think OKC was kind of up there. Obviously, a lot of the changes that happened with the Lakers made them kind of some favorites too, if they can gel quickly. But, you know, I definitely think that was a big, big blow for OKC, unless I'm missing something, unless, you know, Kevin Martin can, you know, they can get a little more production out of those players. But what's your analysis of this trade? Is this a good move or this was a surprising move in your vantage point,
well,
Rob?
I think OKC definitely takes a step back with this trade. There's no doubt about it. James Harden, you know, definitely the best sixth man in the league and could be starting for a lot of ball clubs. And OKC just didn't value him as a max player. They figured he was slightly under max value. And of course, they had to give a max deal to Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. They had to give a big deal to Serge Ibaka. And in this day and age, of course, you know, we're in the salary cap business. They can't afford all of them, and they just didn't see Harden as a max player. It should be interesting because James Harden is going to be the man in Houston. And so we'll have to see if he's that kind of player, you know, if he can be that guy, being the man in Houston. But I do think OKC takes a step back, and I think it further solidifies the Lakers' chances of winning the West. I still think OKC is the second-best team in the West. I mean, Kevin Martin can't come off the bench and score. I like Jeremy Lamb. This is a guy that I'll even go out to say that, you know, I think the Hornets, this is another guy, the Hornets made a mistake when they picked Austin Rivers over Jeremy Lamb and Myers Leonard. And I really like his game. You know, it's going to take a little bit of time, but I think he's going to be a guy that can really help OKC coming off the bench.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. OKC takes a step back. James Harden is trying to be the man. Let's see if he has the shoulders big enough, because I mean, some people said he kind of disappeared in the playoffs a little bit, you know, at a certain point. So spotlight's on you, sir. So let's see if he steps up and does what he does. But as mentioned, I think OKC definitely, I mean, they take a step back, but it figures depends on how quick those new players can assimilate in the system. They got two for one, you can kind of say, if you will. But we'll see how it plays out. So I know we kind of switched up the topics here because we were supposed to talk about football, but the NBA is going on right now, so we're going to go with the flow and keep it going. So once again, for those who want to call on the show, tell us your thoughts. Tell us, are we crazy? Do you think this was good moves? You can hit us up, the number to call, 424-243-9519, and also hit us up on Twitter and also on Facebook as well. So, Rob, you ready to move forward to some college football talk, sir?
Well, let's do it, man. We got a lot of big games this weekend, man. Let's get to the thoughts.
Let's get to it. All right, let's talk. First and foremost, we got two very evenly matched teams. Number 16 ranked Texas A&M versus number 15 Mississippi State. Texas A&M is a 7.5-point favorite. And this is a tough game for me to pick, man, because I think because both teams are so equal, you know, it's hard to pick who's going to you know, come ahead. Obviously, Mississippi State coming from a very very tough loss versus number one Alabama, you know, which everyone's been losing to. So that's a tough thing for them. But it's just kind of a tough game. And obviously, like the quarterback play for Texas A&M. So I'm kind of torn with this pick. So I'm going to kind of defer to Rob first and foremost as I get my head straight, man. So what do you think, man?
Well, you have to like the job that Kevin Sumlin is doing in Texas A&M, their first year in the SEC. I think he's doing a phenomenal job. Johnny Manziel, this kid is playing phenomenal. He's probably one of the better dual threat quarterbacks in college football. He's a redshirt freshman. I like Texas A&M to go on the road and beat Mississippi State. And, I mean, the way Texas A&M just annihilated Auburn this past weekend. And, of course, Auburn is not the same team they were a few years ago. But this Texas A&M team is a really good ball club. And I like the job that Kevin Sumlin and Johnny Manziel, they call it Johnny Ball down there in Texas A&M. I like Texas A&M to win this game.
Gotcha. We got a call in there. Let's kind of check in with this person, see what they have to say. Hello, caller. You are on the air. Thank you for calling 12th Man Sports.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Tad from Atlanta.
Tad is back.
Hey, Tad.
Welcome
how's it going,
back,
man?
How you doing, man?
Doing good, doing good. I got back from Italy, and I'm ready to get into some American sports again, man.
Well, welcome. What are you going to talk about,
hey,
sir?
Did you spread the word in Italy about the listening and talking sports with the 12 man for us?
I did. I think you're going to have some Italians calling into the show tonight. So
okay, great. Well, we better broaden our horizons and start talking about some more soccer, you know, for our Italian listeners.
That's right. You know, some AC Milan or something like that. You know, you got to pay attention now. So.
Absolutely.
Well, I hate to jump backwards. I know you guys just got into college football, but I heard you talking about James Harden and Oklahoma City, and I just had to throw my thoughts in. I thought that it's unfortunate because to me, I looked at it like, you know, you had a situation where you had three of the top 20 players in the league that were all under 25 years old, and I still think that it's unbelievable that they broke that nucleus up. I think that was a huge mistake, and you know, I know that there are some people that feel like James Harden isn't worth $60 million. I totally disagree. I think that you have to keep that team together, and it was really unfortunate to me to see a team that close to winning the NBA title last year already getting broken up and having that shot, to me, diminished already.
Yeah, well, you know, the sad thing about this is that, you know, that's the sad part is being in a small market can still hurt you sometimes, or small market owners are still not going to be willing to spend the luxury tax. And this is where an owner of the Lakers will come in, an owner of the New York Knicks, teams like that, their owners are willing to pay the luxury tax. Mark Cuban is even willing to pay the luxury tax. And I think that's what it comes to. Even though Oklahoma City is filling the building every night, they're still not going to get the large local TV contracts like the Lakers or Knicks are going to get. And so they have to be fiscally responsible a little bit more. And so they had to make a tough decision. I agree with you. I wish they would have kept the team together. And it would have been interesting. I mean, I hate the Lakers. I'm just going to go ahead and say it on worldwide radio. I hate the Lakers. I'm not a fan. I'd rather see OKC going in the finals. But after this trade, I just think, you know, the Lakers are definitely the front runners in the West.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think is unfortunate because you mentioned the financial side of it. To me, I look at it like, you know, if you keep that team together and you keep them successful, I don't think that you have to really worry about that because you're going to guarantee season tickets, you know, sold in April every year. I mean, that's the way it's going to be. People are going to be excited about this team and you know, people are going to be in the seats and the merchandise is going to get sold. Kevin Durant is going to continue to bring in some fans and I don't know. I think that you're talking about a team that still made a lot of money. Their revenue was pretty high, actually, for a small market team. So, I don't know. I feel like to break up a championship contender over finances is something I've never really heard of before, and I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah, very unfortunate.
Yeah,
And I think it comes down to the general manager's opinion, too, here. And he just didn't feel like that Harden was a max player, And I think that's what it just came down. We're going to find out if Harden is worthy of a max contract. Houston is going to go ahead and give him that, and he's going to be the number one option in Houston. So we're really going to find out if he's worthy. And I think let's give this about a month or two in Houston, and I think we can really, you know, maybe gauge this a little bit more and say, did OKC make the right move or not here?
Yeah, but I agree with Tad 100%, man. It's kind of tough because – you know, you were already right there. I mean, you know, obviously you add a little bit more depth on your bench. You know, you do a couple things to strengthen your team, not kind of weaken. I never want to talk about addition plus subtraction, but, you know, like you said, you already had the top, you know, three of the youngest, you know, a great nucleus of players right there. So, you know, it's going to be tough. Now, obviously Harden goes and he adds something because you got Jeremy Lin, and I know that's kind of a pain for you to listen to, Tad, as well. But
kills me.
that's going to be it. Like I said, they got a lot of young players. They got some picks as well. So Houston is kind of making moves. So we'll see how everything plays with them as well. So it's going to be interesting, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll leave you guys with that. I just feel like it's unfortunate because to me, I really liked the Thunder, and now I feel like we're just set it up. We might as well just fast forward to June because it's going to be the Lakers and the Heat. I mean, I can't see anybody touching either of those teams in either conference.
Wow.
I would have to agree with you. I mean, as of right now, those two teams look like they're on a path for the finals. And I think America has been waiting to see Kobe versus LeBron in the finals, and they may finally get that, even though I'm a Laker hater. And but I think America has been waiting to see Kobe versus LeBron. They may finally get that in the finals this year.
Yeah. Thanks, Tap, for the love, man. If you want to keep hanging on, man, you can definitely hang on. If you got to go, that's cool as well, man. Because I was going to say the Lakers made some type of deal, man. They sold their soul to get Dwight Howard, too, man. So we'll see how it plays out for sure.
I appreciate you guys keeping me on. The new wife is going to get mad if I keep her up, so I got to go.
Keep mama happy, cool. Man. Go ahead and keep mama happy.
Thanks, Tap. We'll talk.
We appreciate
talk
the call.
Sir. Welcome back, sir. We'll talk, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks. Man, Tad is awesome. We want to thank him for calling into the show. Like I said, great guy. He's coming back from Italy. That's a lot of love. The number that Tad called was 424-243-9519, and we want to thank him, too. That's what it's all about, checking in. So, yeah, let's go. Let's keep going. You know, that was a good segue back into NBA. But let's finish up what we're talking about with some college football talk. And who did you pick for Texas A&M versus Mississippi State? I kind of lost track there, Rob.
Texas A&M all the way. Johnny Manziel.
All the
Kevin
way.
Sumlin.
Johnny Manziel. Okay, Johnny Ball. Okay.
I like A&M to go on the road and get a win.
They are 7.5-point favorite. We'll see. I'm kind of leaning towards Mississippi State just because it's such a close thing, and they got like some home field, and they're going to stay focused on getting whipped by Alabama, but we'll see. Next game, we're going to talk about number 23, Texas, at number 18, Texas Tech. Texas Tech brings that explosive offense versus Texas. They are 7.5-point favorites, Rob. I actually like Texas Tech in this contest. What do you think about this one, sir?
I like Texas Tech as well. Tommy Tuberville has got those guys playing very good on both sides of the ball. I mean, they took a beating against Kansas State, but Kansas State is just real. Let's just call it the way we see it here.
Yeah,
I like Texas Tech. Texas has been struggling on defense. I mean, he almost gave up 40 points to a horrible Kansas team. And this Texas team, they really miss Will Muschamp as the defensive coordinator. It's unexcusable for a program like Texas with the kind of talent they get a year in and year out to be putting on that kind of a defensive performance week in and week out. And I like Texas Tech in this game.
Now, do you think Mac Brown's in trouble there at Texas?
They're going to keep him around. I think he's going to be there. You know, as long as they win in at least eight, nine of games, they're going to keep him there. You know, if they start having back-to-back losing seasons, then they'll try to get rid of him. But I don't think his job is on the line just yet.
Gotcha. Very interesting. Let's keep it moving. We're going to talk about a pretty explosive game in the Pac-12. We got the number 4 Oregon Ducks visiting number 17. That's kind of seems like those numbers should be reversed. Number 17, USC. Oregon is a 7.5-point favorite in this contest. I'm going to go ahead on the limit. I'm going to say that Oregon's going to actually pull it out versus USC.
I like Oregon here as well. And, you know, if you had asked me this before the season, I would have said USC. I thought USC was going to be playing for the national title this year. But that's not going to happen. Oregon is just an explosive ball club. And I think it's going to be a shootout, though. I think Oregon wins this game by 3 to 7 points.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, too. Like I said, I agree with you wholeheartedly about that. Wow, this is pretty big, Rob. We're going to talk about one of your teams here. We're going to talk about number 1, Alabama, going in Death Valley versus number 5, LSU. T-Rob is going to comment on this because Alabama is a 9.5-point favorite, sir. What do you think, man? Is this going to be a big upset for the Tigers?
Well, here's the way I'm looking at this matchup here. I think Alabama is the best team in college football, and I really believe that. Got to give them credit where credit is due. I believe they are the best team in college football. Nick Saban, just year in and year out, just puts together a great ball club. And if this game was in Alabama, I would definitely be picking Alabama. If this game was on a neutral field, I would be picking Alabama. If this game was being played in the daytime in Baton Rouge, I'll be picking Alabama. But at night, in Death Valley, Tiger Stadium, the Les Miles said it best, this is where visiting teams' dreams come to an end. At night, magical things just seem to happen for LSU in that stadium on a Saturday night. I'm going with the upset. Like I said, if they play the game in the daytime, I'll be picking Alabama. If they play it anywhere else, I'll be picking Alabama. And I think Alabama's the better team. But at night in Tiger Stadium, Death Valley, LSU pulls off the upset.
Robert is not taking his meds today, guys, so we'll see how it plays out, man. So, you know, I'm just chucking with you, man. We'll see how it plays out, man. That's a pretty bold pick, man.
LSU just does not lose at night in Tiger Stadium.
All right. Okay. All right. What's the overall record? Do you have that on hand?
Well, I know it's probably been 5 or 6 years since they've lost at night in Tiger Stadium.
Okay. All right. Okay. We'll see how that plays out. I'm gonna pick Alabama just because I just wanna like you know just be against you, man, just because it's fun. But we'll see how it plays out.
We went over this a couple of weeks ago when South Carolina came to LSU at night. You picked South Carolina, and I picked LSU. I tried to tell you about the night thing.
No, actually, I respect that too. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, like I said, I just think it's I think Alabama is obviously a lot better than South Carolina, but we'll see how it plays out. It's gonna be a very, very good game. We've got about 8 minutes to 9 minutes to go. Let's kind of finish up here. Let's talk about another pretty good team, number 24, Oklahoma State versus number 2, Kansas State. Like Kansas State is a 9.5-point favorite. Senior quarterback Colin Klein is a winner coming into there. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Kansas State. I'm a big fan of Bill Snyder. I'd bring him to Georgia Tech if I could, but I think Kansas State is going to easily win this game.
I like Kansas State big. Cullen Klein is now my favorite to win the Heisman. I know we had some talk early in the season that was going to be Geno Smith, but this kid is my pick to win the Heisman as of now. I like Kansas State big, and Bill Snyder has just done a phenomenal job with this program. Just keep retooling this program with JUCO players, and they just come ready to play, and he's doing a phenomenal job.
Gotcha. Let's talk real quick about the devastating injury to Marcus Lattimore. Steve Spurrier said that he thinks that Marcus will actually play a football game. What do you think about that statement, Rob?
Well, he's got a dislocated knee, and what's probably going to happen here is that Lattimore is going to redshirt next season. He's going to rehab for about a good, almost 2 years, not quite a full 2 years, but he's going to rehab. He's going to redshirt next year. He's still got a redshirt year available. And then he's going to come back in 2014. And play his redshirt senior season. And our prayers are, I just hate to really see that. This kid is a phenomenal football player. I mean, I cringe, and I was just really felt sorry for the kid. And so I'm praying for a speedy recovery for Marcus Lattimore in hopes that he comes back pretty close or as good as he is, as he was prior to these injuries, because the kid is a phenomenal football player.
Yeah, same thing. So let's hope that everything goes well. Do you think this is going to affect him as far as his stock in the pros? I mean, hopefully some people said that he shouldn't actually have been playing. He should actually protect himself. So I don't know. That's definitely something to think about moving forward for a lot of players that, are just kind of doing this in college football. So it's very, very sad to see the injury, but hopefully he can rehab and get a little bit better moving forward for next year too. So we'll see how that plays out for sure. Let's give some fantasy shout-outs, Rob. We're about 6 minutes left in the show. Let's kind of do some fantasy shout-outs if you have that ready, sir.
Oh, once again, we'd like to thank everyone that's competing in our fantasy competitions. Really quick, in our fantasy football league, 12-man sports, crazy crew, Wayne DeGreen still is in first place. And so we'd like to give him a quick shout-out in regards to that, holding down the first-place spot here. And, of course, give a little props to myself and College Pick'em, even though you gained 2 points on me. So I talked a little trash last week, and now you've gained 2 points on me on the College Pick'em, but I'm still in first place trying to hold down the fort. And we just want to thank you all for competing again. College, of course, our fantasy basketball league just kicking off on tonight. So, once again, we are truly grateful to all of you all for continuing to compete with us.
What it's all about, Rob, and I'm coming for you, man. You know, like I said, just keep on, slow and steady wins the race, man. So just keep on thinking, you're going to win it. And I'm just going to pick up behind you and wham, just take it.
Oh, man, I'm pulling away from you, man. You got 1 week on me, but, I'm pulling away some more this weekend on you.
It's all good. Let's talk about some football, some top five teams in the NFL. And the reason why I want to talk about this, because I definitely want to get this out on the air, and then we'll talk about other things. And
because your Falcons are in first place, you're skipping over topics, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it out there. Because the national media.
Hey, you're skipping over our agenda here, man.
I'm going to get back to it. You just stay patient, man. I'm just saying, because, you know, the national media didn't want to recognize that the Falcons did the thing, man. They were talking about how bad Vic was and the Eagles, and, you know, they didn't even expect us to pull it out. So, yes, I'm going to shout, talk about the Falcons, rise up. What? So, yeah. That's what it's all about. All my Falcons. All right,
I'm gonna go through my top five, man. I'm gonna give you Falcons credit where credit is due. I have to admit, the Falcons are number one on my list,
and
as painful that is for me to say, they are number one on my top five, and I have to admit they were very impressive in beating the Eagles on this Sunday. I did see just about that entire game, and number two on my list is the Houston Texans. I think they're clearly the front runner in the AFC, and they're a distant first place over the second team in the AFC, in my opinion. So they have a big lead. I think they're the clear cut favorite in the AFC. Number three, I got to go with the Chicago Bears. They pulled out a close one. I think they might be the best defensive team in football, or one of the best defensive teams in football. And I know they could get some inconsistency out of Cutler, and the offensive line has some inconsistencies as well. But I just like the way Lovie Smith has those guys playing football, and even with a nail-biter win. Number four on my list is the New York Football Giants, who I still believe is one of the most talented teams in the league. And number five, I have to go with the San Francisco 49ers, and with a pounding victory over Arizona last night. And on the outside looking in, I would probably say Green Bay, but right now I have them on the outside looking in.
I think Jay Cutler must have pictures of Roberts. That's why he's picking them, you know, pretty hot, man. So, you know, other than that, we'll see how that plays out. I'm just giving you a hard time. But, you know, I definitely like your list, man, which is why we did the sports talk show to kind of, you know, share our opinions, you know. So, you know, after an impressive win over the Eagles, yes, Falcons keep it going. They're the only undefeated team, number one. Number two, I got the New York Football Giants. Number three, I got the 49ers. Number four, I got the Texans. And at number five, I got the Packers. Like I said, I'm still not a fan of Jay Cutler. The reason why I got the Giants up there, obviously, the way that they handled the 49ers, and the 49ers are actually playing pretty well the way that they handled Arizona. Texans, you know, like I said, I know Ben Tate has been kind of hurt for them, so we'll see how that plays out. You know, they got a great defense, but I still think they have some flaws, too, so we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, clearly, you know, they're definitely one of the top teams in the league, too, so we'll see how that plays out, definitely, as we keep it moving. Robbie, got about 2 minutes left in the show. You want to kind of set up next week and kind of some thoughts as we get ready to go into the OT portion of Talking Sports with the 12th Man?
Yes, we're going to be moving ahead to our OT portion, which is not live, unfortunately. So for those of you all who may be bored sitting at your computer at some point tomorrow at work, you know, go to blocktalkradio.com/12thmansports, and you can listen to this live show tonight as well as our OT portion. We are going to be talking a little bit more NFL, some more NBA, and a little recap of the World Series. So definitely tune in to that on tomorrow, and join us next Tuesday night, same time, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, and that would be 8 p.m. California and 5 p.m. Hawaii. So make sure you join us next week. We'll be talking more football, of course, college and pro, and a little recap of the first week in the NBA. So you definitely don't want to miss out on that. Once again, we thank you all for listening. Like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. Andre, you got any closing remarks?
No, I just want to thank everyone that called in the show. Thanks to you. Thanks to Tad that called in and that showed us some love. Like I said, to my folks, cousins listening to Japan on the West Coast, we love you guys. Definitely show us some love, and we're going to keep talking some sports. We got some NFL to talk about. We're going to talk about some trade stocks, and we'll keep that going for next week as well. So other than that, good night, Pete, says the word, as Rob says.
Congratulations, Bay Area. San Francisco Giants winning the World Series. Congratulations. I know we got a lot of listeners in that area. And go ahead and celebrate, but be safe. Don't destroy the city. It's a beautiful city. Good night, people.
I don't- I don't think they're going to destroy the city. They're just going to have fun.
Okay, okay, okay. Hey, I'm trying to get crumb.
I just like that, Rob. I let that fly. But we got a lot of stuff. And I appreciate Tad calling in. So now we can jump into the OT portion of the show. And this is pretty interesting because there's a lot of good things here. And maybe we can bring this back to light next week, too, because you made a good point as far as Alex Smith and his play. He was pretty much on point versus the Cardinals. And the question that we have is, can he lead the 49ers to the Super Bowl? And that's the question that I'm sure a lot of our guys would like to hear on the West Coast. Maybe we may table that, but I don't know your thoughts on this. If you want to hold off on this or you want to talk about it next week, and then also a good thing as far as the Eagles making the decision to stick with Michael Vick, and they're making the right decision too. So I'm going to leave that on your plate, sir, because I can go either or on this topic.
Well, yeah, Alex Smith was, I thought, very impressive on last night. He only had one completion. And, I think he can lead them to a Super Bowl. And here's the reason why. I think they have a great offensive line. They have a solid running game. And they have a dynamic defense. You know, you can say they could be them or the Bears, who have the best defenses in the league. And, you know, we saw guys like Trent Dilfer lead the Ravens to a Super Bowl with that defense. We saw a guy like Brad Johnson lead the Buccaneers to a Super Bowl with that defense. And I think Alex Smith is better than both of those guys. And so I absolutely believe he can lead this particular team to a Super Bowl just because he has so many pieces around him. And what a great defensive running game and a solid offensive line. So, yes, this particular team, he can lead to a Super Bowl if he can just be steady and don't turn the ball over.
This is pretty interesting, Rob, because I remember a couple of months ago you were not a fan of Alex Smith, if I remember correctly. You didn't think he had all the tools and stuff like that. So why the automatic change of heart?
Well, you know, I mean, are there better quarterbacks in the league? Absolutely. But, I never did say I didn't think he was good enough to lead the team to a title. I mean, they obviously went 13-3 with him last year. And, but I also stuck by with him in the offseason. I've said on numerous times on our show that he is the quarterback for the 49ers for the future. I mean, you're just not going to find anybody overnight that can come in and replace him.
Gotcha. Interesting. Let's talk about Michael Vick. Obviously, if you saw the game, I don't think he played that bad in the game. The decision to stay with him and the question is, you had DeSean Jackson actually come out and say that Vick is still an elite quarterback. And so, obviously, if a quarterback doesn't have an offensive line, if they're kind of struggling, that can definitely affect their play. But I agree that you got to keep him in there. Nick Foles, I don't think he's ready to actually to play right now. He's a rookie, so I don't think he'd do that. So I think you may see the Eagles make a move as far as maybe getting a veteran or so, but I think, like you said, I think it's a good move to keep him as a quarterback.
Well, yes, absolutely. I think Andy Reid would be making a huge mistake if he, I know the Saints are not that good this season, but I think it would be a huge mistake to bring a rookie to come down in a hostile environment in the Superdome. And the Saints defense heals what ails you. So, I mean, Michael Vick could easily go off and have a big game this weekend. So I think Andy Reid will be making the right decision to stick with Michael Vick. I mean, this is not the time, in my opinion, to bench him and go to a rookie quarterback. So, absolutely, I think they have to stick with Michael Vick.
Let's stick with some quarterbacks here. Let's talk about this. I know I'm kind of skipping here because I definitely want to talk about these interesting trades. But, obviously the Jets are I'm not going to say the name, but same thing. They're sticking with Mark Sanchez. This guy I'm kind of starting to feel sorry for the guy, What do you think? Is this a good decision sticking with this guy, or is Tebow the next thing? Because right now, that was the worst decision ever to bring such a player in whenever you have a young quarterback who's clearly struggling. What do you think about this move?
I've said it time and time again, this Jets organization is very dysfunctional right now. I just never thought that bringing in Tebow was the right decision. And I think it's just really, and Mark Sanchez is suffering as a result of it. has really hurt his development, has really hurt his confidence. And this is a kid that I think can still be a very good quarterback in the NFL. And I really think his next team he goes to is where he's going to break out. If he gets with a coach that can really coach quarterbacks and really, you know, run a West Coast system, I think that's where you're going to see Mark Sanchez get better. I really think where he goes next, because obviously at the rate he's going, he won't be a New York Jet for long. And but I think wherever there's going to be a quarterback coach, offensive guru in this league that sees his ability and talent and is going to nurture it, and that's where he's going to turn out to be a star.
Kansas City, they may be looking at no, we'll see. I'm just joking. We'll see how that plays out for sure. Yeah, I mean, like I said, 100% in agreement with you. You know, just kind of it's very unfortunate the fact that, you know, Sanchez is putting a lot of pressure over himself, and he's just not playing loose right now. And then also maybe it may have a problem with the general manager, because I don't know if Mark does have enough weapons behind, you know, around him, excuse me. You know, obviously, I'm not sure if they had that strong of a running game. And then, you know, they drafted a pretty promising young receiver in Stephen Hill from Georgia Tech. But still, I don't know if that's enough. And San Antonio Holmes going down. And then it's just not a good recipe for the Jets. You know, they lost, obviously, Darrell Revis. So things are the wheels are coming off on that team in a hurry.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's talk about some trade talks. And also, we'll talk about, you know, Reggie Bush. I think that's a good statement, too, that the Jets laid down. I kind of wanted to segue that. We were talking about the Jets. I agree with that statement, too, that obviously the Jets are kind of laying down. They're kind of losing their will to win. So, like I said, is Rex Ryan's job in trouble as I ask you that question, Rob?
I would have to say that he could be in trouble because I think he's losing control of the organization. There's just too many things. There's just too many distractions in their locker room. And I really think he's losing a handle of that ball club. If they don't turn it around this year, I think you can possibly see a change. And I think Rex Ryan is a good coach. You know, I'm sure somebody will be picking him up as a defensive coordinator here. There's no doubt about that. But he's got to get control of that organization. It just seems very dysfunctional. And I think the team is you know, sometimes, you know, teams can tune out a coach, and I think that's what's kind of starting to happen with Rex Ryan.
Gotcha. Good deal. Let's talk about these five NFL trades that you put out here. Very, very interesting stuff, you know, and let's start off with Green Bay and some rumors about D'Angelo Williams. What do you think about this? Is this kind of a pretty good movie thing?
Well, yeah, that's mainly what I want to discuss, you know, with these five trades, if they were to happen, how do these teams benefit? And this is actually a trade I think Green Bay would definitely benefit from if they're able to pull this trade off. D'Angelo Williams can still run the ball, and he can really catch the ball out of the backfield. And Green Bay is having trouble running the ball. It's one of their sore spots on offense. I think this puts Green Bay right back in contention for an NFC title in the event they can pull off you know, this kind of trade. I think he would be a perfect fit for their offensive system, if they were able to pull that off.
Okay. Next, you got Dwayne Bowe going to Cincinnati. I didn't see this one coming. What do you think about this move as well?
Well, I think this is obviously, you know, pairing him with a guy like A.J. Green, Jermaine Gresham. They will really put together a potent offense, maybe even similar to what you guys have in Atlanta. And but I don't think this would put Cincinnati in contention for a title. Will it help their offense? Yes. But I don't think it puts them in contention to a title like the D'Angelo Williams could possibly do for Green Bay.
Why would Kansas City do this, Rob?
Well, what's basically happened is, you know, you're talking about a guy who's about at the end of his contract, and, you know, and I'm not sure if they consider him a franchise tag kind of player. So this is a possibility where you can get a draft choice for a player who may leave as a free agent at the end of the season.
Gotcha. Let's move on to another interesting move. Wow, Dallas, they got to be in the news somehow. Steven Jackson to Dallas, is that for real?
Well, St. Louis Rams are shopping Steven Jackson, and this is another deal where I do not think this puts Dallas over the hump at all. I mean, Steven Jackson is a, you know, pretty good running back, but this is a move that if it does happen, will not put the Cowboys over the hump.
Gotcha. let's talk about this offensive tackle, Jeremy Newblood. Is that Youngblood or Newblood to Arizona?
Newblood.
Is that what we're looking at? Yeah, okay.
Yes,
they're
from Tampa Bay. And, you know, Tampa Bay just lost Carl Nick for the season with a toe injury, so that's a big blow. And so I would think that they would want to keep this kid around. But Arizona is in desperate need for offensive line help. But even with that move, Arizona is probably still on the outside looking in from the playoffs.
Gotcha. Good stuff, Rob. Last but not least, let's talk about Tekeele Spikes to Baltimore. What do you think about this move?
With Tekeele Spikes with the Chargers right now, I think if this was, they were able to pull this off, this would definitely help the Ravens. The Ravens are in contention for playoffs. They just lost Ray Lewis. They can use some help there in the inside linebacker position in a 3-4 defense. So this is a move that I think will keep the Ravens right there in the hunt for a division title. And otherwise, I think they may take a slight dip if they're not able to get somebody to fill Lewis' spot.
Gotcha. Got 5 minutes left in the show, Rob. Another one I want to say, what do you think about another one? This is just me throwing it out there. What do you think about LeGarrette Blount? I mean, I think he may be another guy that may be on the trading block as well from Tampa Bay, because I know he's been kind of disgruntled, and Doug Martin's been playing extremely well. What do you think about the possibility about him getting moved somewhere?
Well, you know, I think if a team is looking for a short yardage kind of back, you know, he can definitely go there and help them. You know, you got to wonder about Blount's attitude, you know. He doesn't really have the greatest track record, you know, so you got to worry about what kind of attitude he's going to have coming into your locker room as well.
Gotcha. That was just me throwing Rob a curveball. Way to hit that out the park, sir. Good job. Let's talk about some NFL predictions as we get short with time here. Pretty interesting games. We got the Miami Dolphins visiting Andrew Luck, who's not getting as much pub as RG3. But what do you think about this game? I'm kind of curious because I know Tannehill had a nice little had a little injury, a little bruise with his knee. And this is kind of where I think it depends on if Tannehill's going to play. How Miami does, because if he doesn't play, I think Indiana's going to pull this off. The Colts are going to pull this off. What do you think about Rob?
Both of these teams are quietly 4-3 and would be in the playoffs if the season ended today. And so they both will be wild cards. And I like Indianapolis in this game. I like the way they've been playing on defense. Andrew Luck is getting better and better each week. And I like them at home in this ball game to beat Miami and go to 5-3.
No matter if Tannehill starts?
If Tannehill plays or not, I still like Indy in this ball game.
Gotcha. Another very, very, very impressive game, a very good game that we're going to have is we're going to have the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the New York Football Giants. This is a very interesting game, too. The Giants, like I said, they're still the Super Bowl champs. You got to knock them off the throne, and I think Pittsburgh is still having some issues, even though they had a pretty scrappy game versus the Redskins. Troy Polamalu is still out. Obviously, you know, Don Duar's on his thing, but they're still having problems with the running backs. I think the Giants are still playing the best, as we talked about earlier. I think they're going to still pull this game out. What do you think, sir?
I like the Giants in this ball game too, at home. Pittsburgh has gotten, looked like they're right in the ship a little bit here the last few weeks. But I like the Giants at home in this game.
Gotcha. Got about 2 minutes left, sir. Let's talk about this. Who is the best 4-1 team in the NFL? You gave a couple of choices, Broncos, Steelers, Cardinals, Seahawks, Colts, or Dolphins. My pick, unfortunately, you don't want to hear this, Rob, it is the Denver Broncos. Peyton's kind of doing his thing. They're starting to get their little stride, so I didn't want to play them later on the season. So sorry you guys had to actually endure that. So who's your choice, sir?
Yes, I actually agree with you. Denver was my choice all along as well. And they have definitely stepped it up here in the last few weeks, and Peyton Manning is definitely getting hot at the right time for that organization. He's looking like the old Peyton again, and he's got some playmakers. Willis McGahee's still running the ball really well at 31 years old. Bebe Thomas at wide receiver, Eric Decker, and John Fox is doing a phenomenal job with that defense. But I guess we need to go ahead and wrap up our show here once again next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaii. What time is that in Germany, Andre?
Oh, man, that's like 11 o'clock in the morning or something crazy like that. So.
Okay.
Or something crazy.
Make sure
yeah.
you all join us on next Tuesday. More football talk. We're going to have a lot to discuss. And we want to say good night to all of you. Once again, our prayers are with those there in the Northeast with Hurricane Sandy. Any closing remarks, Andre?
Yeah, we love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Tad. Thanks, everyone. And actually, the time right now in Amsterdam and Germany, it's like 4:40 in the morning. So, yeah, so that's a little early for you guys. But definitely listen to us online, and we'll see you guys next week for Talking Sports with 12th Man. Robert Ford, I am Andre Peterson. Good night, people.
Good night, world.